This is Revive Chicago. Listen and be changed. And then I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And this message is, we'll see where the Lord takes it as I start speaking, I guess. But it's probably a little bit in line with my message last week in talking about what's going into your heart. But I actually want to dig a little bit deeper than just what you put in. Because one of the key things that explains what you put in is your appetite, what you're actually hungry for. And so this is like a next level. Like, first off, you gotta like be just aware of what you're putting in. Some people just aren't even aware. They just turn on the music, turn on the radio, like listening to whatever, inputs whatever, going back to old songs. And so it starts off with being aware, but now we're going kind of next level deep, and we're gonna discuss today, what are you hungry for? Like Jesus said in the most famous sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I think about that often, because there's not very many, like everything else that you hunger for, and this is me speaking from experience, I get hungry again. Any of you all like that? Like, whenever you feed for a little bit, but you know, for me, it's like 20 minutes later. For you, it might be a little longer. But you get hungry again. You get thirsty again. It doesn't satisfy. And there's something about hungering and thirsting for the right thing, for thirsting for righteousness that actually satisfies, that fills you, that makes you at peace. So we're going to read this passage and kind of pick it apart a little bit, but this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, and Paul says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. Now, this is quite the mouthful, so we'll just kind of start at the top and work our way through it, and hopefully we'll get a little bit of understanding today. But verse 17, he says, join with others in following my example, brothers. And this is something like you almost hesitate to do as a pastor. You're like, hey, do what I do, right? Because it makes me feel like I'm being conceited or something. Like, be a little more humble. Like, maybe that you should tell people to follow Jesus. But like, Jesus isn't here live and in person anymore, right? Like, he went to heaven and he teaches us through teachers. He teaches us through mentors, and you need to have someone in your life that you're looking to. You're like, I want that. I want to follow the pattern that you're setting. I want to live like you're living. And I'm not saying you have to pattern every single thing that you do after me, but hopefully there's things that you see in my life, things that you see in the way that I speak that are like, I want to do that. I want to follow that example. I want to follow that pattern. And maybe there's other areas in your life. There's people that you're following, that you're listening to on a regular basis, that you consider a mentor. You have to purpose to pattern your life after them. You have to notice the things that, like, what's different about you? What's different about the way that you think? What's different about the way that you live? And you have to be aware and think about how they're living their life. And so Paul's actually saying, follow my example. Take note of the pattern. You have to notice the pattern. That takes a little bit of thought process, right? If you're going to notice the pattern of someone's life, you have to take heed. You have to, like, what's different about that person? What's the pattern that they're living? What's the pattern of their speech? What's the pattern of their attitudes? What's the pattern of their family? What's going on? And you have to try and follow that pattern. And Paul is actually inviting people to follow his pattern. And that's a challenge. Like, I've had this thought before. I've read Paul a lot. I wonder sometimes if I would like him. Like, he just seems like a very abrasive person. He seems like he's someone who just speaks his mind, doesn't really go with the crowd. I mean, there's a story, you can go read it later in the book of Acts, where, like, Paul and Barnabas got in an argument and actually split. Like, they had traveled together, gone on missions trips together, and they're like, we're going to part ways here after that talk. I imagine Paul wasn't always the easiest person to get along with. But at the same time, he's sitting here saying, follow my example. Why? Because he's not talking about where he's messed up. He's not talking about that he does everything perfect. He's talking about his desire to follow Jesus and those patterns. And you need to be able to practice discernment. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit, because there's going to be patterns, and you follow, and you're like, maybe you're watching my life. I'm your pastor, so I'll just use myself as an example. And maybe you're watching my life, and you're like, didn't like that. That didn't sit right with me. But does that mean, oh, I'm not your pastor anymore? Or no, it just means I'm a human. I'm not always going to do everything perfect, right? But you discern that, and you go, that's not a pattern I'm going to follow. And then if there's other people that you're watching, you're looking at their lives, maybe there's people that are in your life as family members or coworkers, and you see the fruit of their life, you see the pattern that they live according to, and you look at it and you discern and you go, that's not for me. I'm not going to follow that pattern. That's not going to be the way that I go. I think about my parents and Whitney's parents. We talk about this on occasion. We look at their marriages. And we had a lot of conversations early on and ongoing about different patterns that we saw. I love my parents. I respect my parents. I think they did a good job raising 5 kids. But they didn't do everything right. And they would say the same thing. We didn't do everything right. So I look at the patterns and I go, I want this in my family. I don't want this. I'm taking note of the way that they live. I'm not just following along blindly. And then he says, after he encourages them to take note, to live according to the pattern, he says, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, this is kind of crazy to me, because he's actually speaking about people who think that they're following Jesus. And he says that they believe in Jesus, they're acknowledging Jesus, but the way that they're living is actually like an enemy. This is why he says that line, I say it again, even with tears. These are people that he knows. People that it hurts him to have to say this. These are people that Paul has tried to encourage, has maybe tried to correct, and he says that they are not following the pattern, but they claim to be following the pattern. So he's saying it with tears. He's heartbroken over this, that they say that they follow Christ, but they're not living according to that pattern. They're actually living as enemies of the cross. That's heavy. Living as an enemy of the cross. We say we want to follow. We say we want to live the pattern. We say we want to follow the example. And then we live as enemies. We live the opposite of what we say. And he says, their destiny is destruction. He's writing, he says, I'm writing to you through tears. But you're on a path to destruction. If you keep living this way, you're on the wrong pattern. You're following the wrong way of living. You're not following the example that Christ set. You're not following the example that Paul set. And so your destiny is destruction. Your God is your stomach. And this is where, as I was talking about the lead-in and that appetite, right? What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? And so much of the time, what rules is our flesh, our stomach, whatever thing that we want, whatever thing that we're craving, that's what rules, that's what gets the final say. So whatever fleshly act we feel we need, we just follow it, we just do it, we just fulfill it. But it leaves you empty, it leaves you aching, it leaves you unsatisfied. And so today, one of the main points of this sermon is about your appetite. Another translation actually literally says, their God is their appetite. What is your appetite for? What are you consuming? What do you crave to consume? What are you longing for? What drives you? Because all of us have patterns in this area, right? And we had patterns before we came to Christ. So that means we have to change the pattern. We have to change the way that we think. We have to change what we're hungry for. I mean, have you considered even just, you know, so we're talking about appetite, we're talking about your stomach. And so it's easy to like, okay, there's an analogy to like diet here, right? To what we consume, to what we put in our bodies. But I'm not going to make this a health class instruction. So I want to like, I want to use it more as an analogy for the things that we crave, the things like, how many of you know that if you've never tasted sushi, you can never have a craving for it? If you've never had Mexican food, you're never going to have a craving for it. It would not even occur to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, just think about this for a second. Some of you are like, never had Mexican, that'd be terrible. Like, you're depriving yourself, right? Like, it's so flavorful, it's so good. If you've never tried a spicy curry, you're never going to develop a craving for that food. If you've never had Starbucks, you'll save yourself a lot of money if you don't start. Right? Like, notice that the things that you have a craving for are things that you have had before. And maybe one or two of those things was like the first time you tried it, you just loved it, and then you've had the habit ever since. But you also notice that when it comes to broccoli, I've met very few people that have a craving for broccoli. They're out there. They like can't go a day without it. But well, yeah, it's a little bit like, okay, I guess that's your thing, you know? It's like raw or cooked or which way do you? It's like, you better smother that in butter and a lot of salt, maybe. No, think about this for a second, though. A lot of times the things that are, quote, good for us or the things that we know our body needs, we revolt against. We want to give ourselves the thing, we gravitate towards the sugary things. The things that taste good. But we've developed a palate for it. Over time. And it comes to rule us. And you notice, like, okay, the things that I crave are things I've had before. The things that I've decided I like. And once you have that input, then you want more of it. And it's feeding something in here, right? And you develop that appetite. And the question is, we could, you know, we'll throw out, I don't know, Oreos or something. But we all know, like, as good as they might be, too many of them is not a good thing, right? And it's amazing how if you develop an appetite for that, I've got three little girls who probably could not get enough Oreos at this stage, right? And if I just let them follow their appetite in that area, I'm going to have sickly children. And I'm going to be dealing with a lot of sugar crashes and bad attitudes as well. It's going to not just affect their lives and their development, it's going to affect my own sanity. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I just give them candy all the time, if I just give them Oreos all the time, they're going to develop an appetite for that and want more and more of that. And so I teach them already at a young age that we have one piece or maybe two pieces of candy. I'm not saying you can't have it. I'm saying we limit it. We don't let the appetite take control and run everything. Just like Paul says, they have made their God their stomach. They have made their appetite their God. The thing that they crave drives them. It actually, what is a God? A God is something that rules, where you don't have control. And so then we come to church and we sing like, God, reign over me, be king. You're king of my life, you're the king. But then that's the only time all week that we've said those words or even thought those words. That's not going to work. That's not going to be following the pattern. You're still following the old pattern. You're still stuck on your Oreos. And it's really, when it comes down to it, it's a childish mentality that you just like, when you open that bag of Oreos and it's like pretty soon that whole sleeve is gone and you're starting on sleeve two. You know, like you got to be careful what you develop an appetite for or it's going to start to show. And then, you know what? Maybe you've gone down that road in the past. Maybe you were. You were eating Oreos by the sleeve. But you somewhere in there took note of it and decided this is not a healthy pattern. And you sued Nabisco. No, I'm just kidding. You decided, right? Because we can decide it's somebody else's fault. Like it's that big company's fault that made this product that I'm addicted to. Or you can take responsibility for your life and the attitude that developed that and say, I'm not a victim here. Unless it's a victim of myself and my own stomach. I've let something else rule over me. I've let my appetite, my cravings rule over me, tell me what to do, push me around. And it's amazing how this kind of thing doesn't really just stop at food, right? When he says, your God is your stomach, he's talking about your God is the flesh, the carnal nature, the old patterns, the old ways of thinking. That's the kind of thing we're supposed to leave behind. You're supposed to have a new pattern now. You're supposed to have a new way of thinking. You're supposed to have a better appetite, but you have to start feeding it, right? This is the word of God right here. I'm holding up my Bible for you listening on the podcast later. This is the word of God. If you don't have an appetite for it, if you've never really tasted it, how are you going to crave it? Not a day goes by that I don't think about this. That I don't dwell on it. There's times where I don't technically open it and sit and read. I think about it. I meditate on it. That's what the psalmist says. I meditate on your words. But I've developed an appetite for it. I'm hungry for this. I want more of this. I want to understand and know the Word of God more. I want it to be part of my life. I want it to challenge my thought processes, the way that I approach the world. I want to look at the pattern of culture, the pattern of the flesh that you see every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn on a music, a song, every time you see how people are living. You're like, you know what? It's not the pattern I want. I want this pattern. I want this word. I want to be hungry for this word. God says, if I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for righteousness, then I will be filled. And it's no wonder you're walking around hungry all the time. A little bit hangry even. Right? Like just a little bit. You're always on the edge of irritated. Because you've had an appetite for the wrong things. You've got to change your appetite. You've got to change what you're hungry for. And you're adults. You've got to recognize that the Oreos haven't been satisfying. Right? Whatever it is that you read on a regular basis is not filling you up. It's not preparing you for your day. It's not preparing you for your job mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You're not walking in prepared. You're not walking in filled because your appetite is for the wrong things. It's like waking up and eating a banana Foster for breakfast and that's all you put in. I'm getting your mouth watering, aren't I? I don't know why that one popped out, but somebody's like, he's picking all my favorite stuff. I don't know your favorite stuff. Think about this, guys. If you're eating the wrong thing to start your day, you got to start to notice, like, this week I woke up and I ate sugar, and then I didn't feel very well, and I was irritable. Like, well, there's a pattern there, right? And this isn't a sermon about your diet. This is, all of this is analogy, right? You guys are following me on this. What are you hungering after? What are you thirsty for? Are you filling yourself up with this? Have you developed any kind of craving for the Word of God? Or is it just kind of like, ugh, struggle to read, frustration, you dread it a little bit? Well, I would posit to you that the Word of God is probably a little more along the lines of broccoli. You have to develop a taste. Or we could even say, like, think about the finer things in life, like cheeses or coffee, right? Like, coffee's bitter. Some of you don't even drink it right. You just pour in, it's like Whitney's. She's half and half. It's half milk and half coffee. It's not really coffee. Just to make it palatable. But, like, somewhere in there, because if you had coffee as a kid, the very first sip, like, there's no way you liked it. That's crazy. The first sip, maybe the second sip, maybe the third sip, you still did not like coffee. But somewhere in there, you developed a taste for it. Think of the places where tea is more regularly consumed. They developed a taste for it. Tea is also bitter. Whitney's description for it is like dirty water. She's never developed a taste for it. But like, you go to Britain and everybody drinks tea. It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural attitude and mentality. And they've even got special little pots that boil water faster because they drink their tea so regularly. And you notice that culturally there's an appetite for certain things. Paul says here, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Think about that. Is your mind regularly on earthly things? Are you thinking about earthly things? Are you consumed with the same earthly worries? You need to remember where your citizenship is. Where is your home? Where are you really from? Where do you claim your homeland? You know what I mean? And it's interesting. I like Paul's wording here because he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, because he's writing to the Philippian church. And Philippi was actually a place where not everybody in Philippi was a Roman citizen, but if you were born in Philippi, you were automatically considered a citizen of Rome. That's interesting to me. So these people in Philippi who'd never been to Rome have a citizenship elsewhere. That's a way to think about our own lives, isn't it? You haven't been to heaven. But your citizenship is there. You need to think of it in that way. It's like my real home, my place of origin, my spiritual homing device goes there. This is the way that I think. This is the pattern that I have. This is the pattern that I live. I don't glory in things. Notice our culture. What do they do? They're currently glorifying things that are actually shameful. That's what they're doing. That's how they're living. They're glorying in their shame. And I sit there and watch it, and I'm like, how is this real life? How is this real life? How can they be that distorted in their thinking? But they are driven by their own desires. They've developed cravings for certain things. And you have to be able to recognize the pattern and say, that is not healthy. That is not normal. I live differently. I follow the pattern of God. I follow the pattern of Christ. I don't want to live as an enemy of the cross. I don't want my stomach, my flesh, my own appetite to rule me. I want to be submitted to Him. My citizenship is in heaven. I don't want my mind on earthly things. But it's easy to do. It's easy to do. So you have to be aware. What am I hungry for? You have to start to take note of the things that you crave. Where is it? Like, obviously in an earthly sense, what restaurants do you crave? Where do you want to go? You know, like we're all going to walk out of here and we're all going to be hungry here in a few minutes. Right? And I've been talking about food the whole time, so some of you are still like, where can I get Bananas Foster? You know? But you've got to be aware of what you're hungry for. Some of you never even noticed it's becoming a pattern. Do you crave the same things that the world craves? Are you hungry for the same things they're hungry for? What's your appetite? And it's amazing to watch it unfold. Like I brought up my girls already. I watch them eat. I watch the things that they're hungry for. And they're usually hungry for the things that either taste sweet or that they've already had. They're very, very suspicious of new things. And it's funny to watch. Like I'm literally watching human nature develop and unfold before my eyes. And I'm learning how do I coach this? Because I could be really restrictive and never let them have an ounce of sugar, but then they'll never learn how to be disciplined. They'll never learn how to tell themselves no. There'll never be a pattern of overcoming. And so, yeah, maybe it'll help them for the first 17, 18 years of their life, but I won't always be there. I have to prepare them for real life. I have to prepare them to be able to say no to their cravings, to the things that they want. And I have to do the same thing as a pastor. There's things that you think about that make you feel a certain way. Maybe they make you feel good. Maybe you're currently spiritually feeding what you crave. You have to realize this is a poor pattern. This is actually, if I keep going down this way, if I keep thinking this way, if I have my mindset on earthly things, I am making myself an enemy of the cross of Christ. But you today are getting a reminder that your citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And this is also like, this is language about Rome and Philippi historically, because there were the way that they even talked about the emperor was that he was the savior of the world. The language that they used to talk about the Roman emperor was that he was conquering to save and rescue all of the barbarian peoples. And so they actually, when you said that Jesus was the Lord, when you said that Jesus was the Savior, it was actually what's considered subversive language, challenging the Roman doctrine and propaganda. That's specifically what it was doing. When you said Jesus is my Savior, you were actually saying Caesar is not. Not you, I'm not picking on you. the Roman one, right? Like when you're saying that Jesus is my Savior back in these ancient times 2,000 years ago, that's what you're declaring. You're forcefully confronting the culture of the day and saying, I don't believe what everybody else believes. I'm not following into the same pattern of thinking. My Savior is not your Savior. My Savior is different. My Savior is not of this world. My Savior is in heaven. And I eagerly await my salvation. I eagerly await Him coming. But sometimes we get caught up in life. And we're not so eagerly waiting. We're just kind of going through the motions. We haven't even considered challenging the culture of the day. The propaganda that's just pushed constantly to feed self, to feed your flesh, to feed your cravings, because there's advertisers that want you to do so because they make money at it. It's like even more than in this era when Paul was writing, like we live in an era that's constantly bombarding you to feed your cravings. And you have the cravings at your fingertips. If you have a craving for a certain song, you can turn it on in seconds. If you have a craving to watch a certain movie, you can turn it on in seconds. If you have a craving for a certain food, it might take 10 minutes to get there, but you can get it delivered. Like you can literally push a couple buttons on your phone and whatever it is that you're craving will come to you. And as Christians, we have to be different. We have to think different. Because if you constantly feed your flesh, if you constantly feed your cravings, then you're going to end up an enemy of the cross of Christ. That's harsh. That's why Paul wrote it in tears. It's like, this is not what I want for them. This is not how I want them to think. And as Revive Chicago Church, we want to think differently. We want to challenge our cravings and hunger and thirst for the right things. We've got to develop an appetite for the things of God. You've got to develop an appetite for the things of God. And this is me speaking to you as an adult, right? You're not children anymore. You have to change your appetite. I can't do it for you. Right? Just in the same way when there's like some big weight loss challenge and they put the people up on the scale on the shows and they're like, who's going to lose the most weight this week? And they're challenging each other. Like that person, like they're trying to put themselves in a better environment to make better choices. You have to purpose to do those same things. You have to purpose, what kind of environment am I putting myself around? What kind of environment am I creating for myself? Am I setting myself up for failure on a regular basis to fall to my cravings, to fall to my flesh, to let my stomach rule me all day long, where I'm just constantly giving in to what I want, what I need, what I think I need, what social media is telling me I need, what the government is telling me I need? I need that. And we feed our flesh and feed our flesh. And then we fall for the same things that everybody else falls for. But we are awaiting a Savior who's not of this world, who's no longer subject to those temptations. In fact, He lives so far away from those temptations, it's almost like hard to picture. Like imagine yourself in heaven for a moment. And you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. How easy is it to sin? Like it's not even... I'm trying to think, even if your mind was to go to sinful thought, you're like aware of who's beside you. You know? And then, like, it would be difficult to do so because there's no access. Like, you're sitting by Jesus, so you're so far removed from any temptation, let alone the objects of the temptation. Like there's no computer to get on and look at things that you shouldn't. There's no food to go eat that you shouldn't eat. There's no, like it's not even around. It's not accessible. You're so far removed from it. Like what if you lived a life where in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, you removed yourself from those things until they no longer have a control. They're no longer a craving in your life. And you change what you crave, you purpose, I'm going to start to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. And friends, it's not going to be easy to do. Because those attitudes of the flesh, like you've been feeding them for all your life. You're going to have to, like, you're going to have to really purpose to shift the patterns, shift the ways of thinking. Because otherwise you'll just slide right back into them. You might be good for a week. But here's the thing. He says, we eagerly await a Savior from there who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is so cool. Have you ever felt just stuck in your body? Felt like you're just in a cage, felt like, oh, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait to go to heaven. I'll just float around on clouds and there'll be no sin and no darkness. And like, no, you will actually still have your body. This is one of the biggest things that's different about Christianity in this age and the way that the Greeks and the Romans lived and thought, is they believed that God was actually going to take you, the physical body that you have, and transform it. Your body, this is crazy to think about in these terms, your body is like a seed that when planted will transform into something different. How much different is a sunflower seed than the plant? But it's literally the same stuff. It's the same genetic material. The only way that it gets transformed is to die. It gets planted in the ground, and what does it do? It dies. And then it becomes something different. It becomes transformed. That's what Paul says. That's what Paul's talking about, is us dying to our flesh, dying to ourselves, laying down our lives, planting ourselves, so to speak. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it dies alone, right? What I want to be transformed. I want to take on the glorious body. Jesus had a body that walked through walls, guys. Like, he still had the scars. Like, he was healed, but like, he still had the scars. So they knew it was him. But yet he was still so different. I've talked to you guys about this before, right? Like, the guy could simultaneously eat fish and then walk through a wall. I'm like, how does that work? The physics of this is kind of mind-blowing. How did the food stay in his stomach if he had the ability to pass through a wall, you know? That's transformed. That's glorious. Your body is going to take on a new glorious figure. But you have to submit it to Christ, because Christ in his power is going to enable and bring everything under his control. So what you have to do is let him. Because I could make a list of rules and tell you, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that song. I could make a list of movies that aren't, you shouldn't watch. Like, well, if it's rated whatever. It's like, those ratings are, it's a system made up by this world. What if you actually thought through what you're putting in your eye gate, what you're putting in your ear gate? What if you actually thought about those things and thought about, what am I craving? What am I feeding here? Because if I'm watching it to feed a craving, it's going to be the wrong thing. But what if I actually am watching something that maybe it's on the border, but I'm not feeding a craving, and so it's okay. That's what grown-ups do. They make adult decisions about life and what they're putting in. Right? If you walk out of here today and you're like, Pastor Aaron thinks we should never eat an Oreo, and then we have some event and you see me pop an Oreo in my mouth, you're going to be like, well, that's not a good pattern. You know what I mean? Like, if we get religious about this and legalistic about this, you're missing the intent of my sermon. The intent of my sermon isn't to create a bunch of do's and don'ts. This is about you learning to discern, learning to walk with the Spirit of God and change what you crave. Change your appetite. Because if you change your appetite, it changes everything else, and you allow yourself to be under the control of Christ, who is your Savior, not of this world, who will transform you. What an amazing opportunity. What an amazing way to think and approach life. And we so easily turn it into a list of black and white things. We label things good and bad. But as adults, you've noticed by now, like, not everything is black and white. Not everything is super easy to figure out. Like, is this okay? Is this okay? It's like, you know what? If it's listed in the Word, it's not, there's a list of don'ts, you know, like, don't be greedy, don't be jealous, don't kill people. Like, those are good lists to follow, right? But generally, the Bible doesn't even fall into that pattern in the New Testament. It says, follow Christ. It says, there's one command now, love one another. I'm like, well, how do I do that? You're going to have to find out. You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to live and listen to the Holy Spirit to figure out how to love people. You got to change what you crave. And some of that, maybe you do need to initially start out legalistic. Maybe you need to force that chunk of broccoli down. Add a little ranch. I hear that makes it easier. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to be purposeful at first to start to line things up. But you're going to get to a point where you don't have to sit there and manage every single moment, because your cravings will no longer be in control. Your flesh will no longer be ruling over you. And so I would encourage you, as I bring in this message to a close, I would encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit, how do I do this? How do I start to change my appetite? Because we've all got different appetites. We've all got different things that we've been allowing to feed us. Wrong identities, wrong ways of thinking, wrong attitudes. We've got wrong cravings, and we have to bring them into alignment with Christ. And then as we close here, he says this, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. If you're going to stand firm, this is how you do it. It's the only way it's going to work. And we are called to stand firm. We are called despite the challenges, despite the obstacles, despite the message that social media is constantly feeding us, despite the message that our government wants to feed us, and sometimes the message that churchianity wants to feed you. Because you'll find if you feed legalism, you actually can become very fleshly too. Some of the most fleshly people that I've known are people that have been in church, that have gotten caught up in legalism, and they feed legalism instead of the Spirit. And you have to be very careful. You have to be aware that you're not just turning from one form to another. You have to actually connect it with the Spirit of God. This message is not about being legalistic. This message is about, what are you hungry for? I don't care where you go eat. Go try some sushi. Go eat some Mexican food. Go try some spicy curry. Whatever it is, like, maybe you need to try something new. But you have to approach it with a purposeful mindset in order to get it in you and in order to stand firm. Amen? Will you stand with me? First I preach it, then we do it. Jesus, I ask right now that you would just start to move in this room. Start to move in this room. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to recognize the thoughts and attitudes, to recognize the cravings, the appetites, the things that we're chasing that we didn't realize. Help us to see how they've been ruling over us, how they've been distorting our approach to life, how they've been controlling us and pushing us around. God, I pray that today we would crush those cravings. Change our appetites. God, change my appetite. God, I want to be hungry for you. I want to thirst after righteousness. I want to long and yearn for the presence of God like nothing else. That's what drives me, that's what motivates me. God, I want a revived Chicago church to be driven and motivated by a craving for the Spirit of God. An appetite for your word, an appetite to know you. God, I pray a fresh stirring, a fresh conviction. What are our appetites? What are we craving? Have we just been caught up in the sugary things in the spiritual realm? We've been just consuming milk and not solid food. We haven't been growing in our faith. We've fallen into old patterns, old ways of thinking. God, help us today to be transformed, to start to take on this new glorious body. Help us. God, I don't want to be driven by my own appetite. I don't want us as a church to be driven by our old appetites. God, we want you. We want you. So would you repeat after me and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I lay myself down. My flesh, my stomach, I will not be ruled by it anymore. Crush these cravings. Crush these old attitudes. I submit them to you. Help me to overcome, to stand firm, and to take on a glorious new body. Because you are my Savior. Nothing else will change my mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. Now it's time to put your faith into action by applying this word to your life. If you'd like help taking your next steps with Jesus, contact us at revivechicago.church.